The commission said at the outset that it was going to scrutinize the FBI, the Secret Service, and the Dallas Police, and it was going to rely upon those agencies for its information. It's a very difficult problem to resolve, I think. The commission resolved its dilemma in favor of total reliance and no scrutiny whatsoever. But these are facts which we cannot avoid. The president's life was delivered into the hands of the Secret Service, the FBI, and the Dallas Police in Dallas on November 22nd, and the president was killed while in the protection and under the protection of those agencies. And the alleged assassin of the president was shot to death while not only in the protection of the Dallas Police, but in the basement of the Dallas Police Station, and while being protected by 70 Dallas police officers. And it's for this reason, when the doubts were so widely felt in this country, that the commission indicated that it would scrutinize these agencies closely. But if you read the report, you can see the commission relied upon and did not scrutinize the agencies whatsoever. And the role of the Federal Bureau of Investigation in this case is indeed a role which is scandalous. And if nothing more were done by the FBI of a negative nature, other than that which it did in this case, there would be sound grounds to call for the resignation of Mr. Hoover. And the dissolution of that corrupt agency. The fact is this: the majority of the witnesses who were questioned by the FBI, who then testified before the commission, who were confronted with FBI statements of what they purportedly told the agents of the FBI, in the majority of cases, the witness said, "The report is wrong. I did not say that." And there is a pattern which runs through what the FBI said the witness said when the witness claims he did not say it. Wherever the report was changed by agents of the FBI, according to the witness, it was changed so that the testimony in the report was consistent with Oswald's guilt as the lone assassin, while what the witness said was inconsistent with that conclusion. And we take one example of Nelson Delgado, who was a rifleman, who was in the Marine Corps with Oswald and on the rifle range with Oswald. He said he saw him practice. He saw him fire for score. He said, "Oswald was a lousy shot. There's just no other way to put it. He was a lousy shot." And he was sort of the laughingstock of the outfit because of this. He said, "I told this to the agents of the FBI." And then this is his testimony. He said, "But they did not want to accept that. They argued with me. They badgered me. They sought to have me change my statement." Now we have a charge by a man who was in the Army at the time that he testified before the commission, now in Vietnam, as a matter of fact. He said, "The FBI sought to have me change my statement." Now we have a charge that four agents, whose names he gave to the commission, were involved in attempting to suborn perjury. It's a very serious charge. And the integrity of any investigation, which rests to a large extent upon what the FBI agents did, must be tested by how the commission reacted to the serious charge before it. Did it call the four agents? Did it ask for their side of the story? Did it conduct an investigation? It did none of these things. It never commented for a moment upon this serious charge made by Mr. Delgado and by other witnesses who testified before the commission about similar experiences. So the commission relied upon the FBI, and the FBI agents were going out there trying to badger witnesses to change their story, which would fit more conveniently into the FBI conclusion and the commission's ultimate conclusion and the one from which it started. Well, on the question of Oswald's background, we see now if the commission acquitted itself of its responsibility there. This is Commission Exhibit 917, published by the commission in the volumes. And I read it to you. It is a cable from the American Embassy in Moscow of November 3rd, 1959, which reads as follows: "Concerning the renunciation of U.S. citizenship and request for Soviet citizenship by Lee Harvey Oswald, former Marine and then 41 letters are deleted. Former Marine and, what could be there? Star of stage, screen, and radio? (Laughter) Well, I mean, let your mind wander. What could there be? Agent, informant of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, what 41 letters appear to fit? And the cable goes on. Oswald stated he was radar operator in Marine Corps and offered to furnish Soviets information he possesses on U.S. radar. That's what the government said Oswald did. If that was the government's position about what Oswald did, Oswald should have been arrested when he returned to the United States. But he was not. He went down to the Southwest and applied for a passport and received it in 24 hours. When I applied for my passport, it was given to me in the ordinary course of events, I believe. It took 8 days. Oswald got his in 24 hours, despite the fact that a cable was sent to the very agency, the State Department, which issues the passports. On a recent radio broadcast with Mr. Jenner, who was the attorney who said on the program he was assigned to Oswald's background, Oswald's motive, and the possibility of conspiracy and the possibility that Oswald was government connected in one way or another. I read this cablegram to Mr. Jenner, who was the senior counsel in this area, and asked him if he would be good enough to tell us now what those 41 letters are, former Marine and what comes next. Mr. Jenner said, I don't know. And I said, but you were the man who was given the task of determining Oswald's background and motive, et cetera, and government connection. And this might, those 41 letters could conceivably show a government connection, could they not? He said, I have faith in whoever deleted those letters. They knew what they were doing, I'm sure of that. I said, would you be good enough to share the basis of your faith with us? Would you tell us who made the deletions? And he said, I don't know. Well, at first we were asked to have faith in the Chief Justice and his colleagues. The fact is that who shot the president, where the photographs and the x-rays are, where the shots came from, how fast the rifle can operate, is it possible for anyone with this rifle to have fired as accurately as Oswald allegedly did? These are facts, and they are susceptible to proof. Why then are we asked to have faith? I think that the commission is asking too much of us. I think we have some rights to make some requests to the commission at this point. I think we have a right to know, for example, why a good portion of the reports submitted to the commission remain in the National Archives and have been sealed for 75 years by order of Lyndon B. Johnson. If Oswald is the lone assassin, then there is no question regarding national security in the archives. There can be nothing in the archives which implicates anyone else or any government agency or any foreign power. Nothing like that can be involved because the commission said, after looking at the evidence, it concluded that Oswald was the lone assassin. Well, if that's what the evidence shows, why can't we see it? Now, in terms of the hard physical evidence, the rifle, the pistol, shot Officer Tippett, we're told, the bullets taken from Officer Tippett's body and allegedly possibly related to Oswald's pistol, all of the other, the jacket Oswald allegedly discarded, all of the other physical evidence, that is not even in the National Archives. The Dallas police radio tapes showing what the broadcasts were on November 22nd, possibly showing why the Dallas police were looking for Oswald 15 minutes after the shots were fired, when there was absolutely no evidence whatsoever which pointed toward Oswald at that time, though why they sent out Oswald's description. Well, none of this physical evidence is in the archives. It has been entrusted to the tender mercies of the Dallas police, the FBI, the Secret Service, the CIA, and the other federal and local police agencies. And we have no commitment that even in the year 2039 that we will be able to examine that evidence, if it still exists. Of all of the extravagant statements made by the commission, and it's difficult perhaps to single out one as the most extravagant, but if one was forced to, perhaps this would be it. The commission had the rifle tested under conditions which simulated those which existed on November 22nd, said the commission. Now we're going to see how they did. Oswald's last known score with a rifle in the Marine Corps showed that he fired 191 on the rifle range, 1 point above the minimum for qualification for the lowest rank in the Marine Corps, which, according to the Marine Corps expert who testifies, means that Oswald was, quote, a rather poor shot. And now we're going to see how we simulate the conditions. The commission found the three best riflemen in America, all listed as masters by the National Rifle Association, gave them the rifle and told them to duplicate it. So that's the first thing, the qualification of the man with the weapon. Then we come to the second point. The second point is the quality of the ammunition. The commission said, in the speculation and rumor section, that's where they put all of the facts about the assassination. Speculation and rumor. It has been said that the ammunition for the rifle was 20 years old and therefore would be of questionable reliability. Commission finding. The ammunition is currently being manufactured by the Olin Matheson Company, and the ammunition used by Oswald was recently made. Well, one of the investigators for the Citizens Committee here in New York very ingeniously did that, which the government and its $1 million investigation never thought of doing. He wrote a letter to Olin Matheson and said, when was the last time you manufactured ammunition for that rifle? And they wrote back and said, 1944, against a government contract. And the letter wrote and said, and therefore any such ammunition would be of questionable reliability. Well, the commission took a shortcut. It merely said it is currently being manufactured, it was recently made, and therefore there's no question about its reliability. Well, now we have old ammunition, and we have used by Oswald. We don't know what the experts used or where they got their ammunition. And we have three expert riflemen. Now, Oswald was on the sixth floor when he fired, according to the commission. That's more than 60 feet above the ground. Well, in order to simulate the test, the experts were asked to fire from a perch 30 feet above the ground. Oswald was firing at a moving target, we're told. In order to simulate a moving target, the experts were asked to fire at three large stationary targets. But they complained about the rifle. Evidently, quite bitterly, the FBI expert who arranged the test and got the experts said that there was a lot of talk about the rifle by the experts. He said something about how the bolt was very hard to work, scope, you know, was wobbling and poorly aligned and shot down and to the right. And the experts were reluctant to fire with such a terrible weapon and such a poor scope, which wobbled. But the experts, whatever they said, were able to have, at the commission's instruction, a gunsmith come in, and they had two metal shims attached to the scope and attached to the rifle in order to correct it and in order to keep it from wobbling. That's how you simulate conditions which existed on November 22nd. And now they fired. Oh, yes, the commission said, there's a tree which doesn't show up on that picture, and it is in front of the book depository building. And the commission said that the president is seen reacting to the wound in his throat 8/10 of a second after the limousine bearing the president first became visible to Oswald as it came from behind the tree. So of all the shots that Oswald fired that day, the first one was the one which required the greatest skill. Less than 8/10 of 1 second for his first shot. And the experts were told, quote, take as much time as you want for your first shot. That's how you simulate that condition. And they fired at the stationary targets with the rebuilt weapon from an area half as high as Oswald, a perch half as high as Oswald was supposed to, with we don't know what kind of ammunition, but we do know it was with an improved weapon. Two of the three experts, of the three best riflemen in America, were unable to fire the rifle as quickly as Oswald did. They each tried the test twice, three shots each twice, six shots each expert, three experts, 18 shots. The commission never said where the bullet struck, never. But if you pick up the exhibits which show the targets, you see that not one of all 18 shots hit the head or neck portion of the target, not one even under those circumstances. What does the test show according to the commission? This test, which simulated conditions which existed on November 22nd, proved that Oswald certainly had the capability to fire those two shots into the president's head on November 22nd. And to conclude on the question of some photographs as we began, a photograph was taken by a man named Philip Willis, a retired Air Force major, 5 minutes after the shots were fired in Dealey Plaza. And he had in his photograph the front of the book depository building. And there, standing in the right-hand portion of the photograph, was a man who appeared to be Jack Ruby. In fact, agents of the FBI called upon Mr. Willis and said, you know, that's a valuable picture. Shows that Jack Ruby was at the assassination scene, at least there 5 minutes after the shots were fired. And he said, yes, everybody says that's Jack Ruby. And they took all that picture and 11 others, all 12 pictures from him. Well, The peculiar thing about this is the commission published all 12 of Major Willis's photographs, just as they were taken, except this one. It just cropped off the man who looked like Jack Ruby and published it in that fashion. So we have the two photographs, the one taken by Major Willis with the man who appears to be Jack Ruby on it, and the commission exhibit, which shows the man completely removed. And in that fashion, the commission was able to conclude, as it did, Ruby was not at the assassination scene, ever, on November 22nd, never in Dealey Plaza. Well, there's another photograph which is even more important, I suggest. It was taken by a lady named Mary Moorman. She was in front of the limousine and on this side, the south side of Elm Street, and she took a picture with a Polaroid land camera. And she said, as she took a picture, she heard a shot. And in the background, the president, which the first bullet was fired, in the background, she said she captured the whole book depository building. Now we have a picture of the book depository building at the time the shot was fired. Sounds like a valuable picture. But we can't rely upon Miss Moorman as to what was in the picture. We can rely, I think, perhaps upon the Dallas deputy sheriff who took the picture from her, who filed a report published in the volumes, in which he says, I have taken from Miss Moorman a photograph which she took of the limousine at the time the shots were fired, and it shows the sixth floor window from which the gunman allegedly fired the shots. He said, I've given the photograph to a Secret Service agent whose name he gave, and then if you rummage through the volumes, you see the statement from the Secret Service agent who says, I have taken the picture from the Dallas deputy sheriff, taken by Miss Moorman, and he describes it precisely as the deputy sheriff did. It shows the window where the gunman allegedly sat when the shots were fired. Well, now we have come up with the most important single document in the case on the question of, was Oswald there? Was he there alone? Was he firing with a rifle at the president? And where is that photograph? Did you see it on the front page of your daily newspaper or in the Warren Commission report? It is nowhere, never published, no reference to it in the entire Warren Commission report, and the only references in the 26 volumes are the two references which I just gave you. So there is a picture somewhere which shows the sixth floor window at the time that the shots were fired. And who does it show in the window, if anyone? But I suggest to you, if that picture showed Oswald up there with his rifle firing out of the window, it would have been published as the cover of the Warren Commission report, and it would have been a basic document relied upon by the commission. And the failure... And the failure of the commission to publish that picture and to state that it used that picture in any way, I think is an indication that picture shows something completely contrary to the conclusions that the commission reached. This is another photograph. This is Life magazine, the source of factual data for many years in America. And on the cover is Lee Harvey Oswald. It says, Lee Oswald with the weapons he used to kill President Kennedy and Officer Tippit. This is the rifle he used to kill President Kennedy. You can see on it, probably not from there, but very clearly here, a telescopic sight present on the rifle. Marina Oswald said she never saw a rifle with a telescopic sight on it in her life until she saw one on television after the assassination. And it shows Oswald with a pistol in his pocket, in a holster on his hip. Marina testified that she never saw Oswald with a pistol at any time in her life. Never. Yet the commission said she took this photograph. We noticed at the time, as photographers all over the world noticed at the time, that there is something on the face of the picture which appears to be an inconsistency and a discrepancy. You note the shadow, you probably can't see it unless you're up front, of Oswald's nose. It falls directly down in the middle of his mouth, goes neither to the right nor to the left. The sun was obviously just over his head when the picture was taken of his face. Where was it when the picture of the body was taken, though? Shadow falls sharply to the right and to the rear. We raised this with the commission. Photographers all over the country examined this and said, unless the head was superimposed on this photo, there is only one other possibility, and that is that the picture was taken in a society which enjoys a dual solar system. Well, the FBI and Secret Service agents testified that they remembered that when this picture was shown to Oswald, Oswald said, my head has been superimposed on that photograph. That is my head, but I never held a rifle. I never had a pistol, never posed in any way for a picture like that. Well, the commission thought this was a serious matter and therefore asked the FBI to take someone up to the roof of the FBI building, have him pose with the rifle in the same stance, and duplicate the shadows, I assume, in order to prove that this could be done. And they did take such a picture, and the commission published the picture of an FBI man on the roof of the building standing there with a rifle in the same stance. This is the photograph as published by the commission. They have removed the head of the FBI agent. I wonder if it's too much to believe that if they were able to duplicate the shadows on this picture, if they would have left the head on. In any event, the FBI photography expert, Mr. Schoenfeld, was asked, why did you blank out the head of the man? And Mr. Schoenfeld said, first of all, nothing about the head was pertinent. And secondly, he said, besides, it was a secret agent being an FBI employee. And we thought he should remain anonymous. Leaf through those volumes, those 26 volumes, and you will find many pictures of FBI agents posing for the reenactment of the rifle test, seated in the presidential limousine as they go through various reenactments and reconstructions. Their heads have not been removed, not at all. This was the only head of an FBI agent removed. And if one wants to do a capsule analysis of the commission and its report in just a paragraph or so, I think it can be done by an examination of the commission's conclusions relative to the attempt on General Walker's life. The commission, of course, said Oswald did it. There was one witness only to any aspect of that event. His name is Walter Kirk Coleman, the young man who lived behind General Walker's house. He told the Dallas police and the FBI that he heard the shot fired. He ran out of the house and he saw two men run from behind, from the area from which the shots had been fired. Two men. One had a rifle in his hand, which he threw onto the floorboard of the car and then jumped into the car and he drove off. The other man drove off in another car and in another direction. Now, Oswald could not drive, the commission found, first of all. Secondly, when the FBI showed pictures of Oswald to Mr. Coleman, he said Oswald was neither of the two men. The commission never questioned Walter Kirk Coleman, the only witness to any aspect of the event, and stated instead that Oswald shot at General Walker, never questioning the only witness. I think that in our brief reading of General Walker's testimony, one would say that General Walker took a sounder position than did the commission. General Walker said, of course, I'm interested in knowing who shot at me in April of 63, because he might shoot at me again. I'd like to know who that is. And he therefore had his own investigation conducted, he said. And he said, insofar as I'm concerned, there's no evidence which shows that Oswald did it, and I do not believe that Oswald shot at me. He said, furthermore, in the absence of proof that Oswald did shoot at me, I must continue being a good American citizen to presume that Oswald was innocent. That's what General Walker said. That's not what Earl Warren said. I generally am asked any number of questions on radio and television which have nothing whatever to do with the assassination. The question is always, how much money have you made out of this? What's your political background? What's your interest, etc.? And one never gets around to discussing the facts, the confrontation of the commission's conclusions and its evidence. But that is the basic question, and that is now, I think, for the first time on the agenda for the American people. And the last question I'm almost always asked is, when are you going to just quit this and do something else? And my answer has been the same now for almost 3 years, until such time as the American people secure that to which we are entitled, some intelligible answers from our government as to who killed our president in Dallas on November 22nd. Thank you.